If you have your Bible, go ahead and take it out and go to what should be familiar territory by now, the book of Philippians. Please take out your Bibles to go to Philippians chapter 3. I want to begin by reading with verse 7. Philippians 3 in the New Testament in verse 7. Here the Apostle Paul says, "But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, so that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may obtain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, reach, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Brothers and sisters, as we begin our study this morning, I want to begin by actually asking you about your goals. I want to ask you about your goals. I mean, what kind of goals do you have in your life right now? For example, by any chance, in your life right now, do you have a goal to lose some weight? Do you have a goal to lose 15 or 20 pounds? Do you have a goal when it comes to education? Do you have a goal to get a bachelor's or a master's degree? Do you have a goal to get married soon? Do you have a goal to make the football or the basketball or the soccer team this year? Do you have a goal to get straight A's on your report card all year? What kind of goals do you have in your life? Do you have goals like that? Well, if so, then I want to suggest something to you. I want to suggest that there's nothing wrong with that. I want to suggest that there's nothing wrong with having those kinds of goals in your life. But what about this goal right here? What about the goal of knowing Jesus? What about the goal of knowing the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in the highest possible way, so that you can serve him and love him and worship him and die and go to heaven to be with him when this life is over? I mean, where is that goal ranked on your list of goals right now? I ask you that question, brothers and sisters, because it is interesting that in these verses we just read together, the Apostle Paul tells us exactly how he would answer that question if he was in our assembly. I want you to notice, going back to Philippians chapter 3, how the Apostle Paul tells us that when it came to his life, there was one thing that he wanted more than anything else. I want you to notice how in verse number 8, and even going down to verses 10 and 11, the Apostle Paul tells us that when it came to his life, the main thing he wanted more than anything else was he wanted to know Jesus. He says he wanted to know Jesus. He says he wanted to know the Son of God. That was his ultimate goal. That was his ultimate ambition. That was the ultimate thing that he was seeking above anything else. Again, he emphasizes that in verse number 8, and he also emphasizes it in verse 14. I want you to go down to verse number 14, and I want you to notice what Paul does there in verse 14. I want you to notice how there Paul mentions two specific things. Notice how he mentions the goal and he mentions the prize. Do you see that? He mentions the goal and he mentions the prize. Brothers and sisters, I want to suggest to you that those two things are not the same. Now, while they are connected, we need to understand they're different from each other. They're not the same thing. And I think we understand this when it comes to our culture today. For example, I want you to think about what goes on in my favorite sport to watch on television. I want you to think about what goes on in the NFL. Think about what goes on in the National Football League. Let me tell you something. Right now in training camp, every team in the NFL, even the Arizona Cardinals, they all got the same goal. They all got the same goal. And you know what that goal is? That goal is to win the Super Bowl. That goal is to win the biggest game in all the sports. Every team right now, I don't care which team you're talking about, they all have that goal, and they know that if they can accomplish that goal, you know what they get? They get the prize. They get that right there. They get the joy of standing together as a team on national television and holding up a Lombardi trophy. Every team right now wants to accomplish the goal of winning the Super Bowl so they can get the prize. You see that? That's how it works when it comes to football. And then also how it works when it comes to people who run in the Olympics. You see, when it comes to the Olympics, when a runner participates in that, we got to understand that his or her main goal is to win the race, right? They want to win the race so that they can then get the prize. Well, what's the prize? The prize is a gold medal. The prize is being able to hold up that what you see on the slide. That's how it works when it comes to runners who compete in a race. And that's also how it works when it comes to football and basketball and baseball and soccer. And believe it or not, brothers and sisters, but according to the Apostle Paul, that's also how it works when it comes to us as Christians. That's also how it works when it comes to this spiritual race we are running right now. You see, if you study Philippians 3 very carefully, what you're going to see, that when it comes to us as Christians, our goal right now should be to know Jesus at the highest possible level so that we can then win or finish the spiritual race and win the prize. We want to know Jesus so we can finish the race and get the prize of heaven. Do you see that? That's how this works. When it comes to us as Christians, the question, though, is how do we do this right here? How do we do what Paul is talking about in Philippians 3? How do we know Jesus and finish this race successfully so that we can get the prize? Well, I want to suggest that in the verses we just read, the Apostle Paul, he tells us exactly how to do this. Going back to the verses we just read together, I want you to notice how the Apostle Paul tells us there that when it came to his own life and when it came to his own goal of knowing Jesus and finishing the race so he could get the prize, Paul tells us there that the first thing he decided to do, or the first thing he had to do, is he had to refuse to be content. He says he had to refuse to be content. And someone says, well, wait a minute, Sean, that doesn't sound right. How in the world could you say that? How in the world could you say that a Christian must refuse to be content? How in the world can you say that a Christian is to live their life with that mentality? In fact, I thought the Apostle Paul says that as Christians, we need to learn to be content. Maybe somebody's thinking that right now. If you're thinking that right now, I want you to know something. I want you to know you're right about that. I want you to know you're right when you suggest that in the Word of God, the Bible certainly says as Christians, we need to learn to be content. In fact, the Apostle Paul actually teaches that in Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians 4, verses 11 through 12, there Paul emphasizes how instead of living our lives grumbling and complaining about everything we don't have and everything we want in life, you know what we need to do? We need to learn to stop and count our blessings. We need to learn to stop and be thankful for the things God has done for us today. Paul clearly teaches in Philippians 4 that we need to learn to be content with our blessings. But I want to submit to you that what Paul talks about there is not the same thing he's talking about here. Going back to Philippians chapter 3, look carefully at verses 12 through 13. Notice carefully how there Paul says that when it came to where he was spiritually, he was not content. But Paul says that when he came to where he was spiritually, he was not content because he was not yet perfect. Don't misunderstand what he means when he used that word perfect, brothers and sisters. When Paul used that word perfect there in those verses, he's not talking about sinless perfection, okay? He's not talking about being without fault like God is without fault. Instead, when he used that word perfect there, he's used that word to reference maturity, specifically spiritual maturity. In other words, he is saying that even though he was an apostle, even though he was a preacher, even though he was someone who had done a lot of good things in the kingdom of God, he was not satisfied with where he was spiritually. He was not satisfied with his knowledge of Jesus. He was not satisfied with his faith in Jesus. He was not even satisfied for the work he had done for Jesus when it came to his own spiritual progress and his own spiritual maturity. Paul says he wasn't content. Paul says he wasn't satisfied. He wasn't satisfied with where he currently was. The question, though, is what about us? The question is, when it comes to our own spiritual walk, are we content? Are we satisfied? Are we happy where we currently are? Or do we understand there's more that can be done? Like Paul, do we understand that it doesn't matter how many times we've studied the Bible, it doesn't matter how many verses we can quote, it doesn't matter how many Bible classes we've taught and how many people we brought to Jesus, as long as we live on this earth, there's always room for improvement. There's always room for growth. There's always room to love more people and serve more people and study the scriptures and learn more about Jesus than ever before. Like the Apostle Paul understood, do we also understand, brothers and sisters, that as long as we have breath in our bodies, there's always going to be room for us to go up. There's always going to be room for us to mature and grow. Let me tell you something. If we really understand that, then you know what we won't do. We won't neglect making sure we read our Bibles every single day, right? We won't neglect preparing and studying for Bible classes. We won't walk around with a prideful spirit and act as though we know everything about the Bible and there's nothing else for us to learn. We won't become so haughty in spirit that we think we never need to be corrected. We never need error pointed out in our lives because we are incapable of doing something wrong. You see, if we have a mindset like the Apostle Paul, we're not going to walk around like that. Instead, we're always going to understand that as long as I'm in this life, there's always room for me to grow. There's always room for me to improve. There's always room for me to correct things that I may not be doing so well. Paul says that if he was going to accomplish the goal so he could get the prize, the first thing he had to do is he had to refuse to be content where he was spiritually. And after he refused to be content, the second thing he said he had to do is he also had to choose to forget about the past. Look back at Philippians 3, look at verse 13. In verse 13, Paul again says, "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do," what? "Forgetting what lies behind." Do you see that? Paul says that if he was going to accomplish the goal and win the prize, he had to forget some things. He had to forget some things from his past. When it came to his past, Paul says, I got to put those things in the rearview mirror. I got to put my past behind me. Otherwise, I'm not going to be able to accomplish the goal. And someone says, well, what are some of those things that Paul had to forget? Well, I think Paul tells us throughout the New Testament. First, Paul tells us that when it came to some things he had to forget about, number one, he had to forget about his past religion, didn't he? He had to forget about his past religion. This is something that Paul talks about here in Philippians and all throughout the New Testament. And most of us are pretty familiar with this part of Paul's life. Most of us know that when it came to the Apostle Paul and his life as a Jew, he has some very impressive credentials, didn't he? I mean, just look at Philippians 3 verses 5 and 6. And there Paul tells us that when it came to him being a Jew, he wasn't just a Hebrew, but he was a Hebrew of Hebrews, meaning he was a Hebrew to the highest degree. He came from the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Pharisee. He was a religious leader. And when it came to keeping the law of Moses, he said he was blameless. That means you're going to be hard to find somebody who kept the law better than Paul did. Paul has some impressive credentials as a Jew. But notice how he tells us that when it came to that religion, when he came to Christ, when he became a Christian, he had to put that behind him. He had to put that error that he was maybe practicing for a time behind him. He could not hold on to that false religion now and please Jesus. Paul said he had to do that. The question, though, is what about us? Have we done that? The question is, have we forgotten about whatever false religion we once were part of? Or are we trying to double dip right now? Are we trying to hold on to the truth while at the same time mingling around with some error? If that describes us right now, then we got to understand we're not doing like Paul. We got to understand that when we come to Jesus, we got to give him everything or nothing at all. Paul says, I gave that all up. I gave up all my credentials in Judaism to come to the truth in Jesus. He forgot about his past religion. And you know what else he forgot about? He forgot about his past mistakes. He forgot about his past mistakes. And you and I both know Paul has some past mistakes, didn't he? Oh yeah, he has some past mistakes. In fact, you and I both know that he talks about that also a lot throughout the New Testament. I mean, just go do a casual reading of Paul's writings and he'll easily admit to us that when it came to his past life before he was a Christian, he persecuted Christians, didn't he? He said he actually went into the homes of Christians and he separated them from their families, and he took them, and he locked them up in prison. He actually took pleasure in seeing Christians get murdered. That's how Paul's life was before he came to the Lord. And can you imagine having to live your life with that on you? Can you imagine having to go to bed knowing that you used to live that kind of life? Can you imagine going into a marketplace or something and running into some Christians and they know you and they recognize you as somebody who at one time locked up their mama or their daddy or their children or their siblings or their aunts and uncles just because they were Christians? Can you imagine having to live with that kind of guilt on you? Paul had to live with that. He had to live with some horrible atrocities that he had committed in his past. But even though he had a bad past, he chose to forget about that past. In other words, he refused to allow his past mistakes to distract and disable him as he tried to live for Jesus. Paul knew that he could not hold on to his past mistakes if he was going to accomplish the goal and win the prize. Paul knew he couldn't do that. The question is, do we understand the same thing? The question is, do we also understand that while at one time we may have been some pretty bad people, We may have at one time done some horrible and ungodly things. We may have been fornicators. We may have been drunkards. We may have been liars. We may have been thieves. We may have done all those things, but do we understand now we're different? Now we're new creatures. Now we've been born again. Now we are disciples of Jesus Christ. We've been sanctified, justified, and washed by the blood of the Lamb. That is who we are now. Do we understand that? Paul says that if he was going to accomplish the goal and win the prize, he had to forget about that past religion. And he had to let those past mistakes go. But then thirdly, I want to say, he also had to forget about his past accomplishments. I mean, can you think of anybody in the New Testament who was more accomplished than the Apostle Paul? I mean, think about it. Think about all Paul did in his life. Think about how this man was an apostle. This man was a preacher. This man traveled the world, baptizing people and establishing local churches. This man helped churches get elders. This man trained great preachers on how to preach the gospel. He trained Timothy. He trained Titus. He had direct revelation from the Holy Spirit. He could perform miracles. He wrote about half the New Testament. I mean, can you think of anybody besides Jesus who was more spiritually accomplished than Paul? And yet, even though he had all of these accomplishments, the Apostle Paul tells us that he didn't have time to focus on that. He didn't have time to bask in that. Instead, he had to focus on the future. He had to focus on doing more and more for the cause of Christ. That's the kind of mindset that he had. And that's also the kind of mindset we got to have. I don't care who we are. We got to understand that it doesn't matter what we may have done for the Lord in the past. There's always more we can do today. And tomorrow, and the day after that. There's always more people we can encourage. There's always more people we can teach and love and show grace and mercy to. There's always more people we can restore and serve. There's always more we can learn about the Bible. There's always more that we can grow and apply to our lives so that we can become more and more like God's Son. Paul says that if he was going to accomplish the goal so he could win the prize, he had to refuse to be content where he currently was. And he had to forget about his past. But then third and finally, I want to leave you with this. Paul also says that he had to reach forward to the future. He had to reach forward to the future. And he says that going back to verse 13 of Philippians 3. There Paul says in verse 13, "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind." And then doing what? Reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. As we get ready to wrap up this last point, I would like to begin the point by giving you another sports illustration, if I could. If you look at Paul's writings, you'll see that he talked a lot about sports in his writings. He used a lot of sports illustrations. So if you don't mind, I want to indulge you with another one. And this one actually has to do with a Super Bowl that was played a couple of years ago. Does any of y'all remember that Super Bowl that was played between the Patriots and the Falcons? Y'all remember that Super Bowl? If you happen to watch that Super Bowl, then you might have been like me and been tempted to turn that thing off in the third quarter. Remember that? Many of you know that by the third quarter, things weren't looking so good for the Patriots. I mean, they were getting beat down in every facet of the game. They were actually losing that game by almost 4 touchdowns. That's how bad they were down going into the fourth quarter. But then once the fourth quarter started, amazingly, the Patriots seem to have put those first 3 quarters behind them. They put them in the rearview mirror in some kind of way. They pressed forward. They worked together. And they did something that had never been done in Super Bowl history, and that is they scored 31 unanswered points, and they won that game in overtime. Y'all remember that? Look, I'm not a Patriots fan, okay, but I have to admit that that was amazing. That was absolutely amazing that they were able to make a comeback like that, and I think there's a powerful lesson we can learn as Christians from that. The lesson is this. The lesson is no matter what we face in our lives as God's people, you know what we can never do? We can never give up. We can never stop in pursuit of our goal. In fact, that is exactly the point that the Apostle Paul is making in these verses. You see, like the New England Patriots were down 25 points going into the fourth quarter. Or like a runner competing in a race, as Christians, as we run our spiritual race, we got to make sure we never look back. We got to make sure that we never look behind us, or to the right of us, or to the left of us. We got to make sure that instead of looking all around us, we got to keep going forward. We got to stay focused on the goal so we can get the prize. It doesn't matter if we're going through dark days of discouragement. It doesn't matter if we are facing anxiety and depression. It doesn't matter if we're hurting and we feel like giving up. It doesn't matter if all these bad things are happening to us and the people that we love and we just feel like the world is caving in on us. It doesn't matter what we're going through in this life. We got to keep going. We got to keep running. We got to push ourselves to accomplish this goal and finish the race, because brothers and sisters, this prize we're trying to get, it's just too wonderful to miss out on, right? It's too wonderful to miss out on. Before we go into our invitation song, I want to show you something. Something else Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And in case you didn't take me seriously when I said that Paul used a lot of sports illustrations, here's another one right here in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 24. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24, Paul says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the what?" Only one receives the prize. There it is again. He says, run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air, but I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I preach to others, I myself will not become disqualified. I want you to notice again how in verse 24, Paul makes a distinction between the goal and the prize. Do you see that? Notice how Paul clearly says here that the goal of a Christian when it comes to the spiritual race is to win the race. Paul says our goal should be to win the race, because if we win the race, he says in verse 25, we receive a prize. What's the prize? The prize is the imperishable wreath. You see, the physical runner, he tries to win the race so he can receive a perishable wreath, but we're trying to get that imperishable wreath. There, when Paul talks about that, he's talking about heaven. He is saying we need to run this race. And we need to win it, because only then we get the prize. Paul uses this kind of language all throughout the New Testament. The question is, are we doing what he's talking about? The question is, are we running this spiritual race successfully? Are we running with the Lord? Are we doing our best to know Jesus in the highest possible way, so that we can finish the race and get the prize? Are you running the race, brothers and sisters? Have you even started running the race? If not, then I want you to know that you have an opportunity to begin the race this morning. This morning, if you're willing to come to the Lord on his terms through faith and repentance and baptism, You can enter into this race. And with the Lord's help, you can finish it successfully and receive the prize that Sister Barbara did just recently. And if you are a Christian but you've dropped out of the race, it's time to get back in it again. Praise God that He's a merciful and a gracious God. And even when we drop out the race from time to time, He will allow us to come back into it and He will help us finish what we started. And so if there's someone here this morning who needs to respond to the gospel in any way at all, we're going to sing a song right now. Let us help you. Let's stand. Let's sing together.